You're listening to a podcast of Mission Community Church. For sermon resources and to learn more about our church, visit mission68.org.
Well, it is great to be here. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of the team at Mission. You know what I love about Phoenix? It's called the sun. You are hoarding it in this state, and we would love to see it in the Midwest from time to time. Are you excited about what God's doing at Mission? Yeah, I am. I attend the 4:30 Saturday service. It's 5:30 Central Time. I'm typically reclined in my recliner with a light snack, watching the intensity of the worship. And then the worship team here, do they not do a fantastic job leading us each week? And, of course, the intensity of Pastor Mark Conley. So, absolutely love it. There are times I have to pause in my snacking while I'm watching him to be convicted, because it's right there, and it's hard to do that while snacking on popcorn. So, I'm thrilled. And here's the exciting part. In the last 8 weeks, 200 people have placed their faith in Jesus in this room at Mission Community Church, and that is something to celebrate. And 99, this is last service numbers, 99 folks are going to step into the water on Easter Sunday as a symbol of going from death to life in baptism. And so Easter is going to be a fantastic time around here as well. Great job, Mission. It's fun to see what the Lord is doing. If you have your Bibles, turn to the Song of Songs, chapter 1. The Song of Songs, chapter 1. Go to the Psalms and turn right. Hit the prophets and turn left. And we're going to look at this great book of the Bible. Mark's given me the opportunity to spend time in 2013 preaching through this book. We're going to look at the first 11 verses this morning, and then at Date Night Phoenix today at 4 o'clock. We're going to pick back up in verse 12 as we look at a daily delay, a weekly withdrawal, and annual abandon. And want to encourage you to be a part of Date Night Phoenix. I know there's about 100 spots left. You can go on the website and get those tickets. I think tickets close at 1 o'clock, so I'd love to see you back here, and we'll have a good time with that. But we're going to look at this great book. This is a great book on relationship formation. It starts in chapter 1 and chapter 2 with dating and courting and this desire and attraction between two main characters, Solomon and the Shulamite woman. And they get together, and you begin to watch this relationship form. And in chapter 3, she begins dreaming about a wedding. The wedding takes place at the end of chapter 3. And by chapter 4, they've left the wedding, and they're now at the Jerusalem Hilton enjoying the honeymoon. And then you see faithfulness and commitment in marriage played out in chapters 5 through 8. And it's this great book about relationship formation. And if you're single here at Mission, I want to encourage you to dive into this book, because I think the church as a whole, we've struggled in this area of teaching young people how to form relationships. And a lot of young people today shy away from this idea of exclusivity in marriage because they've seen so much brokenness. And they don't want to repeat that. And so they think the best way to protect themselves is not define the relationship. They start moving towards a young man. They start moving towards a young lady. And whatever this is, if we don't define it strictly, then whenever whatever this is falls apart, we won't hurt so bad. And I want to challenge you to allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life as we look through this text and as we look through this book to see how relationship formation takes place and how it should be paced and how it should progress. Because I am one pastor who believes that exclusivity is sexy. And everybody said, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. You saw Desiring Your Spouse as the title, and their mom and dad's in here right now going, uh-oh, I didn't know. I didn't see a rating. I'm gonna hopefully encourage you this morning. Please, you don't have to rush out of here, because I'm probably not gonna say anything your teenager has not heard already. And mom, he's 18 and a half. It's time. He needs to learn something. I'm just gonna take what they already know, and the scripture today is gonna place it in a biblical context. This is what we need more. Because again, I'm one pastor, sick and tired of feeling as though every time we talk about sex, we have to go onto Satan's turf to discuss it. This ain't his turf. This is God's turf. So we can talk about this in a biblical context because this book, I believe, is the greatest duet of all time between Solomon and the Shulamite woman and relationship formation. We read that in verse 1, Solomon's Song of Songs. This is a compilation of songs explaining freeing, fun, enjoyable, romantic, sexual love, and all God's people said, wow, I meant bow, bow, chicka, chicka, bow, bow more than amen, but yes. It's to be enjoyed. There's two ways that you really can interpret this book. The first one is allegory, that you see everything as a relationship between us and God. And I'm going to show you some points as we go through this book where that gets a little odd. Like later on in the chapter, you read that Solomon is a pouch of myrrh between the Shulamite woman's breast. And one commentary read, and it was just odd to me. He said, yeah, one breast is the New Testament, the other breast is the Old Testament, okay? And the pouch of myrrh is the pure milk of the word flowing between them. And I'm just like, ew. No, that commentator needs to go spend time with his wife. We're going to interpret this book literally, that it's between a husband and a wife. And it's going to praise and build towards and build upon exclusivity in marriage. It's going to be a good... I watched a movie with my wife a couple months back. And she said, hey, on the way to Colorado, you want to get this romantic comedy? I said, absolutely. So we set the iPad up between our seats, put the headphones on. An hour and a half later, I took them off and said, that's an hour and a half of our life we'll never get back. There was nothing funny about it. I tried to laugh. I found some creative elements that were neat, but it was depressing because the whole movie was about, let's not define this. Let's keep it casual. Let's keep it loose. Let's not get too strict. And what was hard for me in the movie was watching their hearts grow towards one another, and then the brakes would come on. Ah, wait, no. We said this was not going to happen. And that's just not how we're wired. It's okay to have feelings of love. And that's the third group of characters that you're going to see in the Song of Songs that I love. They're called the Daughters of Jerusalem, and they're like the backup singers. They're like the doo-wops. They come in, and they praise the love. They echo what Solomon and the Shulamite woman are experiencing. And that's what we're going to look at as we jump into this book. But this is the greatest duet of all time. How many of you think that all the best love duets of all time came out of the 1980s. Would you raise your hand? Did we create some good music in the 80s? I know 1965, you had Sonny and Cher. Anybody want to jump up and start singing that one? Babe, I got you, babe. Right? That's 1965, but how about 1987? The movie came out, and I wasn't able to go see it because I grew up in an independent, fundamental, premillennial, King James Version, only Baptist church. But it was called Dirty Dancing. Easy. But you remember that song? Now I've had the time of my life. How about Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton? Islands in the stream, that is what we are. Now please don't go up to Andy Cherry and go, hey, we need to have Ted sing more often. It'll just make it awkward, all right? How about Milli Vanilli? No, I'm just kidding. That was not a good one. I believe this is the greatest duet of all time. Inspired by God, this is a compilation of songs. Solomon wrote over 1,000 songs, and this is a grouping of those songs to express this love in marriage. And so, number two, and if you take notes, I'm going to give you four points today as we go through these first 11 verses. And the first one is just the greatest duet of all time. Number two, desire says, I want you. Exclusivity says, I want only you. You are the one. I want to be with you and you only. I want my eyes to be exclusive for you. I want my time exclusive for you. I want my commitment for life exclusive to you. And it begins in verse 2 with speaking of her intense desire. This is the Shulamite woman now. What we know about her, and we'll see in verses 5, 6, and 7, she's a simple country gal. And so she's going to express desire, and hopefully as a church that we can be to a point where desire is a good thing and we can praise desire. We can rejoice in it when we see it. And we understand that desire while dating is easy and it flows, it has to be prioritized in marriage. And we're going to see today that if you want the desire for your spouse to be increased and you want to be desired as a spouse and you want that increased, we're going to see that value increases desire. When you raise the value of your spouse, when you cherish them, when you esteem them as highly valuable, it raises that desire. But it starts off, verse 2, with an intense desire that turns sexual quickly. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. My wife has that memorized in 6 translations. For your love is more delightful. Key there, more delightful than wine. Give me some words that would describe wine. Throw them out at me. Sweet. Oh, second word again. Almost every service, the second word is intoxicating. Bold. Smooth. Relaxing. Mission, I wanted to know that I haven't passed this by Mark or the board of directors, but I'm going to give you 3 rules with alcohol. With wine, very important. You write these down. Number 1, no drunkenness. Number 2, when eating steak, red wine. When eating fish, white wine. Okay, don't break any of the rules. So, but she says, your love is more than that. We're going to see in Song of Songs chapter 5, verse 1, later on this year, we're going to see that God speaks into their relationship and says, drink. Drink of one another. Drink of this love. May you be intoxicated with the naked body of your spouse. It's intoxicating. She says it's more delightful than wine. Verse 3, pleasing is the fragrance of your perfumes. Your name is like perfume poured out. Speaking there of his character. When your name gets brought up, it brings about good feelings. Very important. Underline this next part because we're going to see this play out as she talks to her friends, the daughters of Jerusalem. No wonder the maidens love you. Solomon, you got a lot to choose from. And there's a lot of women coming after you. Verse 4, but she says, take me. Take me away with you. Let us hurry. Okay, and then she says, let the king bring me into his chambers. Now it's turned sexual. She wants to go to the bedroom with him. I challenge you wives in here. I want to encourage you. I want you to go home sometime this week. And I'm talking both hands. Shove your husband on the bed. I mean, just push him down. There's seniors in here going, honey, you know we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't do that. We got health. He's talking to the younger people right now. I challenged our congregation a couple of years ago to do this because this is the less hurry. Get that desire back in. Go push him on the bed. And a guy came to me the next week and said, hey, Ted, I appreciate that. My wife, she threw me on the bed 4 times last week and walked out of the room each time. That's not what I mean. But that is desire. I want to be with you. But this book is building towards, and this text is building towards exclusivity. I don't really want you, but I want only you. And look at the friends. Here come the doo-wop girls. We rejoice and delight in you. We will praise your love more than wine. Let me ask you a question. Do you have backup singers in your life? Do you have people backing you up in your love? Do you have people that are praising your marriage? I would hope, as we'll talk about this a little bit later today at Date Night Phoenix, but eradicating the kid-centered home, I hope that your children are like your first backup singers, not the center of your home, not the duet. You and your wife, you and your husband are the duet, but that your kids become the backup singers, and you hear things like, oh, stop it. Not in front of us. Go somewhere and do that. Because let them praise your love. I love doing this in public to total strangers. I love walking up to a table at a restaurant and praising the love that I've witnessed. I don't even know what they're saying, but I've listened, I've watched, I've observed, and I can see, man, this couple loves each other. I did it yesterday at the Liberty Market. There was a couple there. They just got done with the Tough Mudder, and he was wrapping an Ace bandage around his leg, and they were sitting there, and the whole time they were laughing. They were a couple, I would say, up in years, and I couldn't hear what they were saying, but I know this is what they were saying. What were we thinking? That was insane. That was insane. Ice water? Getting shocked at the end? Jumping over things? Whose idea was this? But you know what they were doing? They were laughing. They were having a good time. I stopped at their table and said, hey, I love this. This is fantastic. keep this going. Do it again next year. This is building into your marriage. I'm sad because I don't think the church really takes a hold of this, and the church often does not operate as a backup singer to marriage. Because when a young person comes to us and says, hey, I think I've fallen in love. Hey, no, you haven't. You don't know what love is. You're too young. I'm like 30. I think it's time to meet. No, don't ruin your life with marriage. Right? We delay, I believe, unnecessarily delay marriage because we're not being good backup singers. We're not teaching our young people how to do relationship formation. We're teaching them don't wait, stop, quit it. We're teaching them how to honor purity rather than marriage. We need to teach them how to honor and esteem marriage as highly valuable. Praise that in them. This is my daughter. I mean, I tell her all the time, one day I'm going to stand at the back of a church with you. I'm going to take you and walk you down an aisle. I love doing this to dads at ceremonies because I think weddings, I don't know about you, but I think weddings are going way too fast. Like, bride and groom tell me, we're just going to walk down the aisle. You take it from there. If you can be done in 20 and send us back out, that'd be fantastic. It's like, let's slow this down. And one of the places we need to slow it down is when dad steps up with his daughter. And I tell him at the rehearsal, I want you to go slow. I want you to speak words of blessing over your daughter. After I say, who gives this woman to be married to this man? Answer with strength, her mother and I. And then I want you to turn and face your daughter. And I want you to honor her. And I want you to speak words of blessing over her. And it's not mic'd. We don't know what he's saying, but at almost every wedding, I don't care how big the dad is, how burly he is, he can be 6'4", 280. When he turns to face his daughter, this is all we hear. Is that so true, though? It's like, come on. And I'm trying not to laugh, but then I'm crying because I know he's speaking words of blessing because he's going to back up and praise love. He's going to back up and give her to this pervert. But you know what I'll tell him? Dad, I want you to turn to him. And I want you to look to your son-in-law, and I want you to say to him, see, this is praising, and this is what I love about mission, and I'm thankful that Mark and the team has invited me to be a part of the teaching team, and Mark's allowing me to speak into marriage because mission wants to be your backup singer. We want to praise your love. We want to support it. We want to encourage it. Be someone who rejoices in the love of others. How right they are to adore you. Number three, when desire meets insecurity, exclusivity is threatened. Now the Shulamite woman's going to have a conversation with her friends, and here's what she has this desire to be with him. The desire is growing, but guess what happens? She, like a lot of ladies, she sits around and says, but he doesn't want me. Why would he want me? There are all these maidens over here, 60 concubines there may be, and 80, 60 queens there may be, and 80 concubines, virgins beyond number. Why would he want me? Why would he want to be with me? And look at what she says. Dark I am, yet lovely. Very important there. In that day, 3,000 years ago, to the Hebrew people, paleness was beauty on a woman, not a suntan. Very different from our culture today. Dark I am, yet lovely, O daughters of Jerusalem, dark like the tents of Kedar, like the tent curtains of Solomon. She's saying, I'm not beautiful. I'm not beautiful. Solomon doesn't want to be with me. There's a lot of other beautiful women. Have you ever watched what happens in a room full of women when a camera comes out? Men and women process cameras very differently. When a camera comes out, I just love this. This is my wife, too. A camera comes out. It's like the first time they've seen the invention. What is that? It's a camera. What are you going to do with that? Well, I'm going to take pictures. Of who? Well, of the group here. What are you going to do with them? It's like all the questions. Are you posting these anywhere? Nobody told me there'd be pictures. I would have done something different if I would have known there were going to be pictures. How does a group of men respond when a camera comes out? It's like a race to see who can be the biggest idiot. Right? Hey! When I take a picture of my son and daughter, 7 and 9, Corinne usually stands there, and Carson is like, total difference. Have you ever watched what happens in a gym in front of the mirrors. They tell me they have mirrors in the gym. And a woman will walk right by him. If she catches a glimpse, oh, what? Oh, my. Oh, you know, she's trying to get away from the mirror, not a man. Right? You know what he's thinking? Still got it. Had it back then, got it now. Total difference. This is that insecurity that a woman feels. And she said, I'm not beautiful. This is why, Dad, it is so important for you and I to be setting the standard for beauty in our home. I love walking by the end caps at the grocery store and showing my 9-year-old daughter, who's quickly becoming a tween. You see all that right there? There's a Hebrew term to describe everything you're seeing there. You know what it is? Photoshop. That's what that is right there. I'm setting the standard, and you know the standard of beauty in our home is Amy Cunningham. I said, so why don't you get around your mom, Corinna? Watch how she dresses and watch. I said, because your mom is it for me. My eyes are exclusive for her. I want the only image of a naked woman in my head to be that of Amy Cunningham. I want exclusivity even with my eyes. She says in verse 6, do not stare at me because I am dark, because I am darkened by the sun. Now she gets into family history. Her stepbrothers, my mother's sons were angry with me and made me take care of the vineyard. So I had to go outside and work. My own vineyard, now she flips that word picture around to speak of her own body, I have neglected. Tell me, you whom I love, where you graze your flock and where you rest your sheep at midday. Why should I be like a veiled woman? In other words, why should I be like a prostitute beside the flocks of your friends? In other words, I desire to be with you, but we will not arouse or awaken love before it's time. Desire while dating must be guarded, must be validated. Very important. Mom and Dad, we don't want to suppress feelings of desire. We want to validate feelings of desire, but we want to teach how to guard feelings of desire. And then it's interesting, into marriage, which is why we're launching Date Night Phoenix, we have to prioritize the desire. We have to raise desire. She said, I will not bend my character to be with you. And here come the doo-wop girls again. Verse 8. If you do not know most beautiful of women, in other words, she is saying, and the friends are saying, you're beautiful. Quit telling yourself that. You're pretty. Of course he would want to be with you. Follow the tracks of the sheep and graze your young goats by the tents of the shepherds. Go and spend some time with him. Be with him. Talk with him. Have a lunch date. And then, this is the fourth point, exclusivity eliminates all other choices and reassures with sincere compliments. Exclusivity eliminates all other choices and reassures with sincere compliments. And verse 9 is very important. I feel like I should say this. It is not wise in our day, guys, to compare your wife to a horse. Okay? But in that day at work, 1 Kings 4:26 says that Solomon had 12,000 horses. He was a lover of horses. He was a collector of horses. So he's going to take a word picture from one of his passions and one of his loves. And here's what he's going to say. I liken you, my darling, to a mare harnessed to one of the chariots of Pharaoh. Now, in that day, traditionally, all of the chariots and thousands of them that would show up for battle or would show up on parade would be pulled by dark stallions. Pharaoh's chariot would be pulled by a white mare. And here's what he's saying. He's going, you stand out. Imagine, I just have this picture in my head of all of these chariots lined up with these dark stallions, a male horse, and a female mare comes walking by. What are those horses doing? That was the worst impersonation of a horse I've ever heard. There's excitement. Here's what he's doing. Two things with that one compliment, with that sincere compliment. He's praising her beauty. And he's setting the stage for exclusivity. He says, sure, there's all these other horses, but you, my love, you stick out. You're the one that I've chosen. You're the special one. Why? Because you are harnessed to one of the chariots of Pharaoh. Your cheeks are beautiful with earrings, your neck with strings of jewels. We will make you earrings of gold studded with silver. In other words, this is getting exclusive. I will start buying you things. I will start making you stuff. So exclusivity with sincere compliments, very important, because it's important to become a student of your spouse, to learn the insecurities of your spouse, to learn their struggles, but to also know their language. My wife and I, a few months back, we started, actually last year, we got so serious about what I call the fun-loving you list. This is a list of all of the reasons why I love, cherish, and value Amy Cunningham. And here's how we started the list. We're going to write down all of the fun and easy ways to love one another. And we got into it a little bit and realized this is simple. What we need to do are find those difficult, struggling, frustrating, annoying pet peeves that we would like to see changed in our spouse, and we need to put them on the list. And then from the list, we will mine for gold. We will find ways that this is fun loving you. I love this about you, and this is what I cherish. Why is this list important? Because this is showing my wife, it's showing my kids. I bring this out at birthday parties. Why? Because I want to praise my wife in front of people. It's Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 4. I want to be a banner of love over my wife. I want to be a safe place where she can come and she's going to know that, hey, when I'm with Ted, I know he compliments me in public, he praises me in public, he enjoys our marriage in public. It's not that I carry this list around in my back pocket, but I have it on my notes on my iPhone. I pull out that notepad, and sometimes at dinner, I'll just pull it out and be like, okay, here we go. I'm going to read some of the things I love about your mom. We did this last Sunday at my mom's 64th birthday party. I said, let's just go around the table and everybody share one thing they love about Pama. And my mom's like, oh, you know, I hate when you do this. Because this is honor. This is what honor does. It raises the value. It cherishes a person and raises it up. A couple things about this, very important, because some of you are like, I'll just put some things down. You need to know the language of your spouse. You need to know the language. I was working with my son on our way to Haiti the day after Christmas. We went down for a trip to visit one of the schools that we work with. And I said, hey, Carson, he's 7. I said, I really want us to work on our language skills so we don't stick out totally like rednecks from the Ozarks. I'd really like us to be good, so I want to just roll off our tongue. So the whole way from Miami to Port-au-Prince, we practiced our Haitian French, and so it was bonjour. And Carson, 7, was just rolling off his tongue. Bonjour, bonjour. Oh, that's great. Merci beaucoup. Ah, merci beaucoup. We hit the ground in Port-au-Prince. The first person he sees, I kid you not, this is what he says, bonjour. Guy helps us with our bag. Merci beaucoup. What happened? We were there. You're like, well, I'll get the right words on the paper. And you know this, right? It's not just the words we say. It's how we say them. Very important. Let me give you an example. I'm going to say the exact same words two different ways, and you're going to see they have completely different meaning. Here we go. Let's eat, Grandpa. Let's eat, Grandpa. Did you see that? Very important. I'll say it again. This is a meal with Grandpa. This is a meal of Grandpa. But they're the same words. So it's not just about words on paper. It's the heart that comes behind. We're going to talk about this tonight when we talk about communication briefly at Date Night Phoenix. But if you don't mind, I would love to share some of this list with you. And sometimes I feel awkward doing this, but you're going to get the point. Because I hope you start your list on your iPad, on your iPhone. Maybe get a ledger, get something, get a composition notebook, get something to begin making this list. And I'm telling you, this will raise the value. You can start one for each of your kids as well, but it'll not only raise value, it will raise desire. And you know what will happen? More of this. Number one, Amy, I love your all or nothing passion. You do nothing halfway. I can come home from a bad day at church and say, man, it was a rough day. Fine, let's move to Africa. Okay, let's back it down a notch. It was like 2 bad hours. But I love that about her. Everything's passion. We hiked yesterday in Scottsdale. I found the perfect trail. It was 0.67 miles. I mean, it was a pretty steep 0.67 miles. But I'm like, hey, let's get a picture here. My wife's, no, we're taking this mountain. I mean, I just love that, everything about her. It's like, another, okay, let's go. Okay, that's why she loves missions so much. I love, number two, your disdain for directions. You love letting me lead. A guy stopped me in the parking lot yesterday because my family during the first service, they came to the second service, but they went to Santan Mall. But I had to actually, I love this about her. I had to point the car in the right direction. And so I did that in the far end of the parking lot. I was walking across. Are you okay, Ted? Yeah, no, just getting my family where they needed to go. Amy, you're going to go to Power and turn right. Power and turn right. Power and turn right. Then you're going to go to 202 and go west. West, 202. How am I going to know it's 202? Look for the big road. Take a right. But you know what I love? She just loves getting in the passenger seat and being a navigator, being the communications director for our family. We just shoot the breeze and have a great time. I love your attention to detail. I love your list that you keep our family organized. Oh, I love this. That used to drive me crazy, all these lists all over the table of everything we needed to do today. And I like to be a little more spontaneous, but all these lists. And my wife's even asked me this question before as we're leaving the house. Hey, Ted, we're leaving. You have to go potty? I'm 38 and a half. I'm going to go whenever I feel like it. And I'm not going to let you know. But now I love it now. I love coming out and seeing the list. What do we got on the schedule today? All right, let me look over the list here real quick. All right, I know what's going on. And no deviating from the plan. I love your adventurous culinary spirit. You have elevated my palate. I love your lack of a people-pleasing gene. You do not strive to meet the nonstop and at times excessive expectations that people place on you. I actually envy this about her. It's like, I mean, I sometimes tell her, shouldn't we care a little bit? No. If you cut them off in traffic, just don't make eye contact. That's the secret. Okay. I love how you prioritize our marriage. You've eradicated the kid-centered home and you place our marriage first. I love your love for Carson, our son. Even though you need to stop calling him Pooh Bear, you let him be all boy. I love how you love our daughter, Corinne. You let her be her own person and personality in all of her pursuits. Corinne's starting to choose her own clothes. And it's killing my wife because they have completely different taste. I go, I love it that you understand that. I love your confidence in my expertise on everything. She thinks I am an expert on astrophysics, nuclear proliferation. I mean, we can be watching a movie. Now, this part used to just, we'll watch a movie, and I'll look over, and she's surfing Pinterest and reading a magazine. And in the middle of the movie, she'll go, oh, what just happened? Okay. There was an explosion on the space station. A piece of it broke off and it hit the shuttle. Okay? Now the shuttle's broken. They don't know how they're going to get back to Earth. Well, what are they going to do? Ah! I'm not an astronaut. I have no idea. But I bet if we watch the movie, that's the last half. How they fix it. I love this, though. We were driving down Higley yesterday. Honey, what are they doing right here? Well, I got tired of the traffic pattern. I told them, rip it out, boys. I want 12-inch pipe, not 6-inch. 12-inch. Then I want the concrete put back down. I want it smooth. And I'm calling somebody on Monday, I told her, because you have two signs right next to each other. One says, keep right. The other says, keep left. What does that even mean? I said, I'll take care of it first thing on Monday. But she just thinks, no, you have this all figured out. I love how you always want to share with me. I have plenty of money to buy you your own meal. But I love how you just want a bite of mine. I love how you protect me around hot things. I can get 5 feet from anything hot, and this is what I hear. Listen again, I'm 38 and a half. I know what a boiling pot of water will do to me. I love your equilibrium. I love when that comforter comes over your left foot to expose your left foot. And I love when you lean over to me and say, did you touch the thermostat? Honey, it's the same answer. I haven't touched the thermostat in 16 years. But she knows the 1 degree difference. I love your spontaneity. With 2 to 3 days notice, you cut loose. Go with the flow. She made a few for me. This is what she loves about Ted. And her list was pretty short at first, but it's gotten a lot better. I love your implied questions that you deliver with strength. Like, I look really good in this, don't I? I love how you're always concerned about my comfort, always offering me your coat when I'm cold and even your socks in the movie theater. I love how the child comes out in you when you build a fire. Though I question your safety practices most times. She'll come on the front porch. Flames can be 50 feet. I'm standing there with a hose looking at him. And she'll go, I just love this about her. She'll look at me and she'll go, should I call somebody? Get back! I don't know where this is going. I love your skillful exaggeration. I have no idea what she means by that. I love how easy you are to please, whether we have cereal for dinner or filet mignon. You say always, that was the perfect dinner. I love how you make me feel like the most important person in the room. You include me in our marriage in every situation. I love how you see potential in me that I do not see in myself. You have a way of encouraging me to stretch myself. I love the way you dream. Without you, I would not take time to dream. Whether it be a trip that we may take someday or a project we would like to complete, because of you, I always have something to look forward to. Let me tell you, this is the passion behind what we're doing today at 4 o'clock, Date Night Phoenix. And if you can't be there, we want to encourage you to go to mission68.org and look at these 4 dates that we're challenging you to take in 4 weeks. We want every married couple to prioritize dating in their marriage. 4 dates, 4 weeks. Play, dream, laugh, and adventure. Each one on the website, there's hundreds of questions to help you begin making your list. And you're going to notice 10 date ideas and 52 questions for each date. Plan your date. Get it on the calendar. We're going to spend a couple hours tonight talking about dating, prioritizing marriage in the home. It's going to be a great time, and I want to encourage you, as you begin to build out your list, I've talked to many couples after each service who are beginning to make their list. I just want to encourage you, get this list going. The dating's going to help you begin to develop this list. Bring it out at birthday, bring it out at the holidays. I mean, just bring it out and begin to be a backup singer for your spouse, for your marriage. Let your children back up the duet of mom and dad who love and are crazy about each other. Would you pray with me? Father, it is in the name of Jesus that we thank you for our time today. I thank you for each single, each husband, each wife, for young and old, that we as a church would be backup singers to love, that we would promote, celebrate, advocate for marriage. Grateful for the good work that you are doing here. I pray over every home represented in here this morning that you would cover each home in the blood of Jesus, protect each home from evil, fulfill your purpose in their lives. And it is in the mighty name of Jesus that everyone agreed and said, amen. Amen.